If you would turn in your Bibles to 2 Corinthians, the 7th chapter. 2 Corinthians, the 7th chapter. That's where we'll be reading from in a few moments. In the few minutes that I have to speak with you this evening, I'd like to talk to you a little bit about sorrow. And when I say sorrow, I don't mean the type of sorrow that many of us have tonight, because the Rangers lost their very important baseball game today. I'm not wanting to talk to you about the sorrow that I see from many of my students when they receive a failing grade because they either cheated or didn't give any effort on their exam or their essays that we just turned in. It's amazing as a teacher. We just turned in our first set of essays for the year, and several of them copied. They copy and pasted straight from the internet, and even as I typed it in and Googled it and showed them the article that they copied and pasted it from, they were still claiming that they had done nothing wrong. And when you would tell them that they got a zero for it and had to do it again, they would be sorry for that. But it wasn't true sorrow that they did something wrong. They didn't see anything wrong with it. They were sorry about the consequences. They were sorry that they got caught. But in the New Testament, we find that we are to have godly sorrow, as is shown in 2 Corinthians, the 7th chapter. We're all familiar with the letters that Paul writes to the Corinthians. And in 1 Corinthians, he admonishes the church at Corinth and talks to them about several things that they need to fix. So among them were those who were sexually immoral, and he gave them instructions of how to deal with the brethren there that they needed to deal with. And then in 2 Corinthians, in chapter 7, he talks to them and tells them how he feels about the godly sorrow that they showed. And beginning in verse 8, he tells them, "Even if I made you sorry with my letter, I do not regret it. Though I did regret it, for I perceive that the same epistle made you sorry, though only for a while." Paul is not sorry here in this passage that the letter brought them sorrow, and because it led them to repentance, as we'll see here in a moment continuing on this chapter. He's sorry that he had to write it in the first place, because that meant that sin was present and that had to be dealt with and taken care of. But he wasn't sorry that he wrote it, because the letter caused them to have that godly sorrow. He says in verse 9, "I rejoice, not that you were made sorry, but that your sorrow led to repentance, for you were made sorry in a godly manner, that you might suffer loss from us in nothing. For godly sorrow produces repentance, leading to salvation, not to be regretted, but the sorrow of the world produces death. For observe this very thing, that you sorrowed in a godly manner, what diligence it produced in you, what clearing of yourselves, what indignation, what fear, what vehement desire, what zeal, what vindication. In all things you proved yourselves to be clear in this matter." And so we see here that the church at Corinth, they had the proper sorrow that they were supposed to have, and that this sorrow, they weren't sorry that they got caught. They realized that they had done something that was truly wrong, that they needed to make that right, and that sorrow that they had because of that led them to action. There again in verse 11, "what it produced in you, the clearing of yourselves, indignation, what fear, what vehement desire, zeal." They did what they had to make themselves right and to take care of that problem and that sin that was among their congregation. And so for those of you that are here tonight, I ask that you look at yourself and ask that you have that. Do you have that godly sorrow? There are two groups of people that could fall under that need of godly sorrow, and that would be, first of all, those who have put on Christ, who have been baptized into Christ's church, but have fallen away, have committed sin, have turned from doing the things that are in accordance with God's will. And then the second group are those who are alien sinners, who have never named the name of Christ, who have not been baptized into His church, and have never followed the teachings of Christ and followed His commandments. And if you fall under one of those two categories, then ask yourself, do you have that godly sorrow? Are you sorry because of the consequences that are going to come from that sin? Are you sorry perhaps because of the earthly consequences that come from that sin? Or are you truly sorry and have godly sorrow that you've sinned against God, that you've committed sin and have disobeyed the commandments that Christ has given us. And if you truly have that godly sorrow, then that will lead you to the action of making those things right with God, just as the Corinthians did here in 2 Corinthians, the 7th chapter. And we want to offer an invitation tonight to those who may fall under those two categories. If you fall under those two categories and you have that godly sorrow, your heart's been pricked, such as the Jews on the day of Pentecost are a great example in the New Testament of a group of individuals who had godly sorrow. They were pricked in their heart and they asked the apostles, "What must we do to make this right?" is what they meant. What must we do to be saved? And he told them to repent and be baptized. And so if there are any here tonight that have that godly sorrow and want to take those steps to make yourself right with God, we ask that you would come forward as we now stand and sing.